we're going to be looking at a very interesting topic today. We're going to be considering spiritual apathy. And many of the times, not many people really know how to deal with this, or even have understanding as to what they might be looking at. So, why I teach on this promptly is because I want you to know what is right from what is wrong, or what is right from what is nearly right. So, I mean, oftentimes distinguishing what is right from what is wrong might be quite easy. But when it comes to making a very clear distinction as to what is right from what is almost right, now that takes quite some skill to be able to get to. Right? So tonight, this evening, we're going to be looking at spiritual apathy. And some might be wondering why I decide to call it this. But you'll be amazed. I just heard it at dawn while I was praying. And I figured that I had to teach on this very quickly. You know, so I had to actually go and look out what it means to be apathic or apathetic. Right? And oftentimes, that's how the Lord gives me messages for us as a house. It comes to me as simple instructions. And today we're going to be looking at this very quickly. And I trust that it's going to be a great blessing to you. So why do we call it, you know, why do we add the word spiritual to apathy? Because obviously, we are not looking at something that is physical, right? We're not looking at something that is physical. Going to the beach is physical. Going to watch a football match is physical. Going to see your friend is physical. Going to lectures while you're on campus is very physical. But we're going to try to understand from a very spiritual point of view what it means to be apathetic. Right? So spiritual, from a sense that it pertains the things of the spirit. All right? It relates to the human spirit. So whenever we say something is spiritual, we're saying that it speaks of one which is, you know, very similarly related or compatible to God. So when we use the word spiritual, we're talking about something that relates or pertains to the human spirit, right? And it also closely is similarly related or a lot more compatible with God. So if we say God is a God of wisdom, all right, and we find that element of wisdom in you, we can call that element of in you spiritual. Because they are those natures or abilities that are similarly related to God. So the believer ought to understand that he is spiritual. Because the moment you get born again, all right, you move from a state of just being a natural man to having certain compatible features with the Lord. And so the believer ought to yield his members as instruments for God's use. Spiritual also often will be used in the term when one is filled with and governed by the Spirit of God, because it is not a natural thing. Somebody who say to be hungry is a natural thing. To wake up and feel like eating fufu is a very natural thing. I mean, there are times I wake up and I feel I have to eat fufu today, right? That's very natural. But to wake up and have a desire to have certain natures that are compatible with God's nature is a spiritual. So you get to realize that not many people actually understand or can discern it enough when they are becoming something that God is not. Because if God's heartbeat is to see something happen, it means that the man who does not have his heart beat in that regard will not be in sync with God, and hence he might not be termed as spiritual. If God is going to be walking in love, right, and God is love, then an element or a nature of that attribute in God will be seen in that fellow who has that nature of God, which is called the spiritual. So when we talk of someone who is spiritual, we're actually speaking about who is filled with, right, and governed by the Spirit of God. So anytime you see somebody, you know, have certain attributes. Now, the attributes oftentimes will coin out themselves from God's word primarily. It means that the person thinks, the person acts, and the person is governed by the Spirit of God, which is his word. Right? So it is a very supernatural thing. It is a very supernatural thing. Now, supernatural does not mean that, you know, God has to come into your room, shake your bed 4 times, cause the windows to shake, then, hey, I'm the Lord your God. Get up and go to a land, I'll show you. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Ha, ha, ha. So you see, that's really weird. I mean, you hardly get to hear God like this. I mean, that's really, really, really serious. No, when we say something is supernatural, it's just not natural. Okay? Just have it this simple in your mind. When we say something is supernatural, we are saying that that thing is not natural. It means that thing does not have any correlation with the natural. Now, the natural oftentimes will be with senses of the natural. Things you can see with your physical eyes. Things you can taste with your tongue. Things you can touch or feel, right? So, what we're speaking about today is a very spiritual element. It means it's not natural. It's not likened to the senses, to the natural senses. So, it goes beyond the natural. And that makes it supernatural. So, not every time will something supernatural be spooky. When we say something is spooky, it means it's scary and it's fearsome. It's attention seeking and attention catching. In fact, most of the things that are supernatural are hardly spooky. It's like God just getting up and telling you, you just have it in your heart, move here and there. Then you go to meet an unbeliever, and that person you are speaking to is not born again. That is very, very supernatural. So most of the things that happen, right, on very supernatural basis are not all the time spooky. In fact, rarely are supernatural things spooky. Supernatural things are just that they are not natural. So anytime we see somebody who does not cling too much to what the natural says or what the natural depicts or what the natural communicates, then that person is termed as spiritual or supernatural. So supernatural actually. Right? So, we're talking about spiritual apathy. So, we're saying it's not of the senses, right? It's something that compacts you. It makes you compatible with the Lord. It's His nature in you, His attributes in you, right? What He yearns for is the same thing that you start yearning for. And that's a supernatural thing. So, when we say, you know, spiritual apathy, we're talking about, apathy is a simple word, it's just showing a lack of interest. You know, just showing a lack of interest. You are dispassionate. See, you are without care. Right? So, you just have a general lack of concern for things pertaining the Lord and His work. So, that's what it means to be in that state. Right? It's to be not too concerned. Right? Not too concerned. Not too concerned. Let's look at the word spiritual quickly in 1 Corinthians 14:37. 1 Corinthians 14:37. Right? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, do you see that? Not relating to the flesh. Paul was actually making some addressions or giving some instructions to the church. And he uses the fact that for those who are sensitive and are full of the Spirit and rich in understanding, right? Let these people acknowledge that what he is writing and what he is saying is a true statement. So oftentimes you would also realize that, you know, there's a scripture in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'm trying to get that scripture verse for you. Yes, so chapter 6 verse 1. So, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are what? Spiritual, right? Ye that are full of the Spirit and governed by the Spirit of God, let you, or ye who are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So Paul is actually getting to realize that there are some people who actually just miss it. They fall into sin. They get it wrong. Feel like, Jesus, I can't serve you any longer. I said I'll keep myself a virgin, but see what has happened. God, you have disappointed. I'm disappointed. I'm a disappointment. I'm disappointing. I'm everything disappointing. No, he's saying that to one of you, or to ye who are spiritual, full of the Spirit, right? In meekness, you will want to restore, right? And I didn't come to teach on this, but in restoration, you're going to be encouraging, you're going to be teaching them how much God loves them and encouraging them God does not hold their wrong against them. So why is he calling these people spiritual? Because they know what God's word accurately says concerning this matter. So they're sensitive, they're full of the Spirit, and they are rich in understanding. So oftentimes, this kind of an apathy I'm talking about this evening is going to be a lack of interest towards things that are godly, spiritual. Things that are godly. Things that are godly. Things that have an element, a nature, an attribute of God. But you see, to be in this form or state of apathy is to begin to lack interest in things concerning the spiritual. So oftentimes there's a pitfall set for everyone who walks with the Lord. And the commencement of that pitfall is always a spiritual apathy, a spiritual dispassionateness. You see, someone who is apathetic will say, I don't really care. I don't really care. Whatever happens should happen. You understand? And that pitfall is that state where you begin to lose interest. You begin to lose interest towards things that you know are godly and are spiritual for that matter. But Christians, as I teach you today, are to wisely single this out and to close their doors to it when it comes knocking. You are supposed to close your door to it when spiritual apathy, spiritual disinterestedness, dispassionateness, without care for spiritual things, you're supposed to shut your door to it when you see it coming. Right? So, medically, how many, is there a doctor here? I know there are pharmacists here because it will make sense. So, you know, medically, there is a term called stupor, right? There's a term called stupor, right? It's a state of unconsciousness and, you know, some kind of insensibility. I remember when we were having presentations, you know, at the hospital, said the patient was lying stupor. I was saying, what are you saying? It means the patient was lying there unconscious, insensitive, right? The person is unresponsive. And oftentimes, patients in stupor positions, near unconsciousness, near insensibility, you can only get them by physical stimulation. So when you shake them, like I went to see my grandfather, a bit like a lot old, in the hospital. And I remember just seeing him a couple of months. He was not too well and he was in a state of stupor. So just a normal touch to somebody that should get them alive and active, somebody who is in stupor, you literally need to like shake them. Like, hey, your grandson is here to see you. And even in that shaking, he just opens his mouth, he just opens his eyes just little. And the moment he saw me, he just smiled very calmly. And then he went back to bed again. So you see, that's a state of being in stupor. It's likened to apathy. Right? So someone who is in stupor is almost unconscious, unable to think, unable to act, slow. Person is completely suspended. You need to knock and knock. Hey, pray. Ajay, lift up your voice. Mama, Shandele Baba, Kondo Dobo, Liba, stupor. Somebody who is not apathetic. You just lift up a prayer point, they are already praying. You see that? So when you get to realize that there is this lack of concern, lack of, you know, interest, dispassionateness, you're not passionate as you used to, without care. It's like those times you were so very much interested in preaching to someone. But now it seems like there is some kind of stupor, there is some kind of apathy that's setting in, and you pass by people without having any sense of direction, any sense of intimidation in your heart. So you get to realize that a Christian who may have been focused on diligent on personal prayers, Bible study, services in church 6 months ago, today feels very numb and, you know, feels very inconsistent concerning Jesus and his mission. See, but last 3 months, I was praying. What is happening? What is happening? I'm going to show you how, because the Lord showed me how. How I deal with things that knock on my door like this. I'm going to show you. And you'll never be a victim of this. You'll always be going up, soaring up, enjoying your spiritual experiences, just loving on the Lord, just serving on the Lord, and not having this stupor set in. Right? So, also note that This Christian is not an ignorant Christian. He knows what to do. He knows that he should pray. He knows that he should read the scriptures. He knows that he should be active in meetings. But he remains unresponsive, unreactive. He shows lack of interest. He's not into it any longer. You need to shake him. Hey, Christians like this. You have to prophesy to them. See, I see this. Your mother's name is this. Your father's name is this. They are still not moved. They are in spiritual stupor. They've not rested. But maybe he was just active 6 months before. 3 months before he was active. Before it was prayer at 1 a.m. Prayer at 1 a.m. Prayer at 1 a.m. Prayer at 11. Prayer at 10. Now, you see, subtly, Netflix just comes in there quietly. And it's 12:30, 12:45, 12:50, 12:55, 12:08. Now he has changed the movie. Right? So, he is becoming unresponsive. There is this lack of interest. And you must begin to know it when you realize that there is this stupor, there is this apathy, there is this lack of interest, there is this dispassionateness. It's like you don't really care. You must be quick to realize such moments. He's becoming apathetic, showing a gradual lack of interest. There are going to be people. You know why I'm teaching this? I'm going to be teaching only spiritual apathy. Then we'll hang up with zeal when I see you. Are you listening? So we have to come to realize what is not right. What is not right? What is not it? It says, oh, you know, Pastor, please, Pastor. Yes, what do you want to say? Pastor, you know, my job now, you know, I have a job now, so I will not be able to be coming around like I should. You see, he is becoming apathetic, unresponsive. But first, if you have told the person cannot come for a meeting or the person cannot show up, it would have been war. But now he's very comfortable. He feels okay. Feels like everything is fine. It's cool, you know. It's good to be out a few times. Right? Now, I said that the man who is apathetic, spiritually, unresponsive, showing a gradual lack of interest, is not a man that is ignorant. He's not ignorant. He knows that, in fact, and the funny thing is that, he might have tasted certain manifestations and certain experiences in God. He might have operated in a word of knowledge before, you know, word of wisdom before, a descending of spirit. Call someone to tell you, I see this. The person says it's true. But now he quietly substitutes what he has on his table so that he can be comfortable. But that's a spiritually apathetic man. And none of you here are going to be apathetic in Jesus' name. Hosea 13 verse 6. Hosea 13 verse 6. Hosea 13 verse 6. All right. Hosea 13 verse 6. Hosea 13 verse 6. According to their pasture, so they were filled. Okay, let's read verse 5 and then we'll read verse 6. right? So verse 5, I took care of you in the wilderness, in the dry and thirsty land. But when you had eaten and you were satisfied, you became proud and you forgot me. That word forgotten is not like actually you can't remember. Is that now I cease to care. I cease to care. I have some, I'm making money, you know. I'm okay. You know, we don't have to be praying and praying like that any longer. I mean, you should be very responsible. Go and work. You know, go and work. If you've listened to me on work, you know my work ethics are very strong. But you see, that is a man who is spiritually apathetic. He's showing lack of interest. Bless his darling hearts. Forgive his stupid heads. I know of a certain great man of God. And, you know, should I share this? Yes, I should. I'm not against the man. I'm against what's happening. So we can use that as an example. This man laid hands on me. This man, I was the one, I looked up to him while I was younger in SS 1 and 2. And then, I say this in all humility and acknowledging whatever is happening. Very anointed. In fact, one of the rarely and graced people, I can count, this man is graced. This man is, the grace upon his life is very rare. And those times, I wanted to preach like him, God. I wanted to preach like him. So, I remember, he used to prophesy, he used to flow in the things of the Spirit. So, I remember asking of him. I know, I was following him from time to time. And he was doing well, involved with the work of the ministry. All of a sudden, he got a job to Bank of Ghana. And he got one of the top roles in Bank of Ghana. And so the money started coming. And I'm telling you, the kind of car he bought in 1 year and the kind of houses he put up in 1 year, I've not seen them. I'm not talking like I've seen them. But my very good friend who was his spiritual father was the one that told me the name of the car. I'm not good at cars. I would have told you the name of the car. And he said that he went to visit this man, and this man had someone praying on the field. And he looked at him and he laughed. He said, all these people that are praying, they should go and look for work to do. Most of their praying, it's just work. They should find work. I opened my mouth. I was like, who could pray than you? 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 If was there anybody that could? I don't believe it. I mean, those days, 7 days dry. 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But he had money. Now he is apathetic to the very thing that he should have been very red hot and interested about. So that's what happens sometimes. The Lord raises people, makes them full, then they choose not to care. But that is not anyone's story. That's why I'm teaching you this. That's not anyone's story. So there are times where someone encounters you and you must be careful. Notice the issue isn't forgetfulness, rather it's that now we don't really, you know, it's those times we used to pray like that, but now we are okay, we are fine. God understands, we just need to talk, sign a few checks and here and there, we are going to be fine. Please, you are becoming dispassionate and you are not caring. You are showing a lack of concern for the things of God. Maybe you are noticing that you don't care as much as you once did. That's why I'm teaching you this. Because you need to take heed to yourself so that this desire can continually grow and it will become greatly burning. Now, the fact that you notice that you don't care as much as you once did is a good thing. Is a very good thing. Because by realizing this, you are going to be now interested in what to do. So God doesn't want you having a roller coaster walk with Him. Today you are Laba Santelime. Hey! Glory, you are shouting. Then they come back to ask, Glory, we've not heard you again. Why? No, that's not Glory's story. I know Glory is on fire for the Lord. But that's just an example. See? Katolaba Raba Satalamanda Kalabatumba Katalabaka Jekete. That's like 12:30. Next 3 months, Brother Kojo, we go near to hear what is happening in his room. And we hear bam 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 bananam bam bududu bududu. How many of you know that song? How many of you watched that who knows the title of the song I'm saying? If you know that you are a big man, who knows it? Oh, nobody knows it. Vadi's the only big man. Da 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 da. Yeah, Vadis is the only Vadis. I know Vadis is the only guy who is big. That's just by the way. So it's Journey to the West. We come close, then we hear movie sounds. You see that? We hear movie sounds. We are hearing things, movies flowing here and there. So God does not want you having this kind of a roller coaster life. Today you're up, tomorrow you're down, tomorrow is like you're on fire. Hey God, hey. I don't like that song specifically, but touch me with your hand. See, they're crying. Next 2 weeks. Say forget this song. No. God wants you having consistent experiences, consistent, you know, adventures with Him. He wants you having consistent adventures with Him. And so the believer ought to know when he is becoming disinterested. It's something I believe that God does in every man's heart. You must begin to know. You must begin to tell. You see, you must begin to sense, discern, be able to point it out that this and this and this and this is something that is happening in my life. I don't want it. I don't want it like this. So in Revelation chapter 3 verse 16, you know, God speaking actually to the Laodicean church, the revelation of Jesus, Revelation chapter 3 verse 16, telling them of how they have become, it's not that they are hot, it's not that they are cold, they are moving through places, and he says he will spill them out, right? It has nothing to do with, you know, salvation. It has everything to do with apathy. Because they trusted in their materialism. If you look in the next verse, show me the next verse. I'll show you. Right? So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Spewing thee out of thy mouth that you cannot be useful. Right? You are not too useful to me. So because thou sayest, right? So what's the reason why, you know, they're either lukewarm, cold or hot? Because they are trusting in the flesh. They are trusting in what they have. They are trusting in the money that they have. But actually, that's poor. They are poor. They are poor. So many times, you can be saying that, oh, I don't need Jesus. I need Jesus, but I don't need Him that much. You know, sometimes you can say that. Do you know sometimes you can say that? Yes. When you see someone praying for 5 hours and the person doesn't have money, but you have money and you are praying for 20, you are praying for 2 minutes, then you now come and say, oh, all these people that pray for long prayers, it's not necessary. That's saying I don't need Him as much. That's saying I don't need Him as much. It's saying I don't really care about this Jesus that much. That much. Why are these people praying for 7 hours? Me, I should go and stand there and pray for 7 hours. Why? Why? It's just saying, I don't need Him that much. I need Him just 2 minutes alone. So God's writing actually to the church in Laodicea, and He's telling them, please, please, don't be cold or, you know, swifting between being cold and being hot. You cannot be useful. You cannot be useful. You are saying that you are rich, so you don't need me. You cannot be useful. And sometimes being useful is not always like starting a church, even though that can be useful. It's just that you are not relevant to what God is doing in the earth. You are not useful. God wants to use you to reach out to somebody. Eh? May it never be our story. That God wants to reach someone where I am. And then he has to get somebody from Pam Pam to come here and reach the fellow. That's not being useful to God. God wants to reach someone in Legon. But he has to bring somebody all the way from wherever they are to Legon. When you are in Legon, why is it that he didn't go through you? Why is it that he didn't use you as that channel? It's because you are being spewed out. You are not really relevant to him and what he's doing. May it never be said that God wanted to do something with young people and people in Ghana, and he passed us by and went to bring somebody from Cote d'Ivoire into Ghana to come and do what he wants to do in Ghana. What a shame. It will not be our story. It's that God wants to do something in Ghana, and he looks out for people he can trust. And he says, I think I've found some people. I think I've found some people. I think I've found them. Let me do what I want to do with their lives. This is going to be the story of people who are not showing lack of disinterest. You say, I'm not interested. No. Right? So they thought they were rich, they were secured, but Jesus is calling them poor. Jesus is calling them poor. So what do you do when you begin to sense this lack of disinterest? You're beginning to sense this lack of disinterest in your disciples, in prayer, in evangelism. You're beginning to tell that. In fact, beginning to be able to tell is very necessary, because not many people are able to tell. So what must you do? Right? When you sense this, you don't feel. I'm going to explain that, but I'm using the layman's term or language. You don't feel God as you used to. I'll explain that. You don't seem to have that connection as you used to. Seems now a lot more darker to you if God really is still interested in doing what he says he will do with your life. So it's like a losing touch. Anytime you saw someone, there was a burning passion in your heart for them. But it gets to a point where you say, it's not really there like that. It looks like that thing is getting up. What do you do? Times where you get into prayer and you pray and pray and pray and pray and you feel like the whole heavens are in the room. And there's also another time, how to even get up from your bed and say, Jesus is Lord, who take a miracle. But this is not going to be someone's story. So, the believer must first realize that there is this inactivity. Now, this is never supposed to be the state of the true believer. But then, there are many people who find themselves in these states. God never intends it to be so for the believer. But then there are people who one way or the other find themselves caught up in this. What must you do? If you used to go to church, now it's like, nah. What must you do? You pray for several hours. Now, even 20 minutes is like a tug of war. What should you do? Now, to the person who is listening to me, you did not, or you were not like that. But you want to do something for God. What must you do? Let's say you've never had a zeal for God, never had anything for God, but you've just been called from the day they gave birth to you. You have been called till now. You don't pray, you don't study. If you pray, just God the Father, God the Son, hallelujah, amen. That's your highest prayer. What must you do? Is that you are apathetic. You need something, right? You need a certain kind of shaking. You see, like the man who is in stupor, you need to shake him like, bah, bah, bah. Sometimes you shake, you open his eyes slightly. Hey, don't close it. Shake some more. Are you listening? Number one, in these states where you find yourself in apathy, where you're not really responsive, first thing to do is to cling to the word of God in faith. The first thing to do, cling to the word of God in faith. Cling to the word of God in faith. The first action for the believer is always faith. 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 Faith will always supersede how you feel. Faith. Faith. Faith that what Jesus did for you supersedes whatever wrong that you have ever done. Faith. Faith that even though you don't feel as though when you used to pray, you know that He's with you. Faith. The believer who walks in this knowledge is a terror to the devil, because he moves a step further and the devil can't get him any longer. Can't get him any longer. So faith that what Jesus did for you supersedes any wrong that you have ever in your life done. In fact, not ever in your life done, ever in your life that you will do. Many ministers sometimes find it very difficult to believe that they did certain things. But let me tell you something. What you did before, He catered for. What you will continually do, He has catered for. You don't have any problem. Is to stand your ground in faith, believing that He is with you, irrespective of how you feel. If you like, when you go to pray, you should feel the roof is burning, the roof is there. You go another time to pray, it's like you are struggling. It's faith. It still be there. It's faith. It's faith. Faith in what God's word says about you. Matthew chapter 28 verse 20. I've seen many times believers cry and they say, oh, please, I don't really feel God like that any longer. Well, guess to a time is not more about feelings. There's certain times He just uses feelings, but it's not all the time. In fact, most of the times He will move you. When you're getting mature in the things of God, you'll realize that more faith is needed for the journey. More faith is needed for the journey. There are certain times I have teaching services, I don't feel like coming to teach. Yes. You think it's every time you are a teacher, so you feel like teaching. Sometimes I want to just be in my bed and be quiet. But you see, faith teaches me to do what I'm supposed to do regardless of how I feel and regardless of what I have in my heart or regardless of what I feel in my body. It's a faith walk. So He says in Matthew chapter 28 verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So Jesus is with us. This is going to be our conviction. We don't need to feel Him. There are certain times we feel Him, that's okay. There are also many times we don't feel Him. Many times we don't feel Him. Many times you'll be praying in tongues and not feel like nothing is happening. But it's to stick to it. is to stick to it. Is to stick to it. Everyone who is just is going to live by faith. Our life in him and our walk with him is going to be a walk of faith. I'm sure certain times some of you feel like Jesus should appear to you in a vision and tell you that at least, my son, what you are doing is right. My son, what you are doing is right. What you are doing is right. But you don't see. You don't see. Yeah, you don't see. Sometimes you're about to take a decision. You know this is the right decision. This is a very spiritually right decision to make. But you want him to somehow, some way still come to you. It's faith. You see, everything that we're doing in our walk with the Lord and in our pursuit with him is a faith thing. The moment you take faith out of it, we don't have anything left behind. I mean, just think about it. We will just gather and speak into thin air for 7 hours. We'll just gather and speak into thin air for 7 hours. Bada 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 bada. Kotola bran take evra tuta. Prevediva. Pa. Po. Akata bada ba. Ponta kapala ba. Jekete la manda. For 7 hours. We are not seeing the person we are talking to. We are not having any physical appearance. We are not having anything happening. It's a faith walk. One of the times I walked in unbelief, I want to share it with you. So that you know that this life is a life of faith. This Christian walk is a Christian walk of faith. And many of the times when God looks at our faith, he's so excited. He's asking, will he still come and find great faith in his house? People who have not seen him in a vision form. People who are not really feeling him. My head I used to feel something moving in my head while I used to pray when I was born again. But now it looks like that thing is not really there. Please, it's a life of faith. A life of faith. It's a life of faith. There are times you feel, there are times you wouldn't feel. I remember one of the times I was praying and I was kneeling down and I was just praying to the Lord. And I was asking him for something. And then in my vision, I see that a man walks into my room. So I knew who he was. And he came to where I was kneeling. And then he wrapped his hands around my shoulders. And he said words to me. I still tear up when I share this story. He said, I am with you. So right there in that vision, some of you think when we have visions, we are actually sure we have seen it, like the, we are seeing you, like the way we are standing with you. Oftentimes when you see me mention names and you have certain details, faith, that's how we do it. Oh. We don't have anything supernatural, like something happening somewhere. How do you just stand somewhere and say that you... Your name is this, and the person says, yeah. How did you know? You don't hear it audibly. You just hear it right on the inside of you. It's a faith thing. So God is going to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And the Lord is saying this about someone. You say, your sister, this. You mentioned the name. It's a faith thing. It's a faith. It's a complete faith thing. So people who are always wanting to be moved by things that they can touch, they can see. Say, God, I'm praying. Why am I not feeling you? Please. It's a faith thing. So while he got into my room, I tell you, I was in unbelief. I was saying, is this vision true or is not true? Because I could see it right there. Right, I could see the man. He split open the door and he walked through. And I saw him walk straight to me and he put his arms around me. And he said, I'm with you. So while he put his arms around me and he said, I would be, I had a pain in my hand. That day, I had a pain in my left hand. Around where my hands were. I had some pain there. So in that vision, I remember telling him that if you know this thing is true, I've had this pain for 2 days and it seems to be very excruciating. Let that pain disappear. Let it disappear. People of God, the moment my heart said, let it disappear, I saw that the thing started coming down and coming down and coming down. And then it was no more.
I jumped out of my kneeling bed. I started to cry. I said, Jesus, you are here. You are here. Ah, you are here. I laid prostrate on the floor. I laid on the floor. And I said, ah, you are here. And then I started speaking to myself. I said, then that means the things that I see are true. Unbelief. Unbelief. I started saying, the things that I see are true. The things that I see are real. The things that I see are true. I just saw this and I started crying and I started posturing. I didn't even know what to do. I touched the pain. It was nowhere to be found. I touched it a bit harder. It was nowhere to be found. I said, dear Jesus, you are real. You are real. You are real. You are real. So many of the times, we just slip off into believing, wanting to believe that, you know, there's something that should happen. Something should happen. If God is here, he should roll off the curtains to one side and move me to another side. No, it's a faith walk. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to 6. God assures us, always assures us, always assures us that he is with us. Every time. You don't even need a prophet to tell you. If you will hold on to this faith word, you're going to have everything that you need. He says, let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. So that we now, knowing of this fact and having this conversation amongst ourselves, we will boldly say that the Lord is our helper, and we will not fear what man shall do unto us. We will not fear about what life has to be. We will not fear about how ministry is going to turn out. We have the strong conviction that the Lord is with us. Don't be like me who wants to have something happen physically before we now get to believing. Even though that's a good experience, but it's not the best of experience. I should have believed. Blessed is the man who has not seen and yet has he believed. Blessed is the man who has not seen and yet has he believed. So in our walk with God is to understand that is a faith walk. In Romans chapter 8 verse 31. Don't forget what I'm sharing with you. Many of you are going to lay hands. You will not feel anything. HIV will disappear. Cancers will disappear. You will not feel any power move. And you will not feel any movements. Things will happen. Because a life with the Lord is a life of faith. Is a life of faith. It's a life of faith. Romans chapter 8 verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We know he's for us. We know he's for us. We know he's for us. Verse 32, 33, 34. Let's go like that. So, if what shall we say then unto these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It's something that we know. And he says, he that spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. Ah, we saw it through his word, that he did not hold back Christ from us. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? It's our conviction. These are great convictions. Is that if he didn't spare Christ from us, there is nothing else that we ask of him that he will not give us. And there is nothing else that he has not done for us. He's always for us. Whether we feel it or whether we do not feel it, the Lord is for us. Whether times when we pray, we are excited, the Lord is for us. Whether times when we think we're supposed to be evangelizing something, we didn't evangelize to, the Lord is for us. So know that Jesus cares for the zealous as much as he cares for the one who seemingly is not having everything figured out. Jesus cares for the zealous as much as he cares who is not zealous. He cares for the zealous as much as he cares for the one that does not really, you know, have it all figured out. He cares for the zealous. Say he cares for me. Say he cares for me. He cares for you as much as he cares for the one that is zealous. So don't walk around with a mentality, I don't fit. I don't count in the number. As for me, see, I'm just one pitiful, sorrowful individual. No, he cares for you as much as he cares for the zealous. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 20. So, in these times where you are experiencing lack of disinterest, lack is first to take your faith stand. Now, I'm going to teach you how to take your faith stand and be active. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Oftentimes, David is a type of Christ. I'll take time to explain that. But all of the things that were said through him were prophecies. Yeah. So you get to realize that these things directly apply to us. The Lord will not forsake you until you have finished with all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. So these are times where you feel not too interested. It's to cling on to faith. Cling on to faith. Cling on to faith. Are you listening? Cling on to faith. Cling on to faith. Not feelings. Not how I used to. No, to faith. Say, I know God is doing something and he's doing it with me. Might not feel it, might not see it, might not know how it's going to happen, but I trust he's doing it with me. Number two, fight apathy with effort. Fight apathy with effort. Fight apathy with effort. And I'm going to show you how to fight this fight. You see, it's a fight of faith, isn't it? So there is something you must know how to do. Right? So you fight this apathy by having good times of listening to teachings and sermons. This kind of medicine works for all kind of spiritual maladies. All kind of spiritual ineffectiveness. Is to keep hearing the word of God taught you. Spend time taking turns to listen to God's word. Do this on a daily basis. Don't spend time, listen carefully. Don't spend time worrying a lot about what you didn't do. Because the enemy is going to be using that as a trap against you. Many of the times we spend time thinking, you just say, today, Tuesday, I'm going to pray. You just said, oh, you're going to sit in the sofa. You woke up, it is 6 o'clock. No, you have another time ahead of you. So don't spend time worrying a lot about what you didn't do. Do what you can do now. Say, today I'm going to evangelize to this person. Then you didn't do it. No, right at that moment, the time you have ahead of you is the time to start with what you have to do. So always look at what you can do now. 16, all right. So always look at what you can do now and don't look back. Don't say, I told myself I'll listen to a teaching sermon, but I didn't listen yesterday, so I told myself I was listening to. What about tomorrow? What about the day you have with you? No, you have today. You have today to get along with what you have to do today. So oftentimes, why am I making this recommendation of standing right there in faith? Because you're going to be standing in faith in what God has already done. And you will now get to have more experiences on what he is trying to show you in that experience. So you are standing in faith, right? You are fighting apathy with effort. And this, I'm saying, using the word of God as your tool. So, you say, I've been saying I'll pray with my disciples. And for 2 days now,
I've not been able to. Well, third day, you can do what you said you would do. Right? Right? So, God uses oftentimes His word to reshape our focus and desires. And so you have to take time to give the word place. And this, you must apply force. Fight this thing. Fight this thing. Read the word of God. Get the teachings. Listen to them. Get zealous. So, you know, just as a glutton should like force himself to exercise and quit eating so much, so is the same way an apathetic Christian must force himself to feed regularly on God's word. It's the same. It's the same. I'm telling you, losing weight. Ask people who want to lose weight. They'll tell you. I have a friend who tells me, even when I'm not eating, I'm putting on weight. And I look at her and I'm saying, oh. And she always tells me, even when I'm not eating, I'm putting on weight. And I try to console her. That's not true. I've been told the fellow has been eating some wache and combined things in the morning. And I say in my head, you are not serious. You are not serious. If you want to be serious, that wache you eat, you will do it only 5 spoons. That's somebody who is serious. So, an apathetic Christian must have that force of pushing himself to regularly. It's regularly. And it's not about wanting or not wanting. It's about doing what he knows will conquer that. Consistent desire. Consistent desire. Number three, have a strong desire for change. Detest any form of apathy or slowness or insensitivity. Start to detest it from today. From today. Detest it. Detest it. Detest it. Hate it with your heart. That state of being a very cold Christian. You don't have disciples, you don't preach to anybody, you don't lay hands, you don't speak in tongues, you don't interpret, you don't do anything. Start to detest it. And it comes by having a strong desire for change. Strong desire for change. Exodus chapter 2 verse 23. I'll have to go through this very quickly. Exodus chapter 2 verse 23. Exodus chapter 2 verse 23. And it came to pass, in the process of time, that the king of Egypt died, right? And the children of Israel sighed by the reason of bondage. They cried, and their cry came up unto God by the reason of bondage, right? Now, I'm not saying that you need to cry. That's very far from that. But I'm teaching you the primary attitude is this, is that there was a desire. Without tears, even if you take the tears away, there was a desire. The people are desirous that, please, we need to get out of this bondage. We need to move out of this apathy. I can only pray for 5 minutes. I need to move out of it. Some of you don't know how I started praying for 7 hours, eh? Sorry, that's too not. But I mean, why I said calling you all for us to all pray? Eh? I started saying, nah, I have to do something more. Yeah, 12 hours, 14 hours to do something. I hate this thing. I don't like it. So the first time I ever tried, come and see. I was there. Was there. Whatever happened should happen. Is that I never wanted to have this apathy. Some of you, I have to share some of these things because you are disciples. You are not people I'm talking to outside. I got into my room. I said, today is today. Today is today. That's a strong desire. It's like shouting, I must do this. The morning came, I was still standing. I was saying, I'll still do this thing. I'll do this thing. The sleep wants to come. I'm like, no, it will not come. It won't come. It won't come. Today is today. Today is today. I started doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it. You see that? It's a strong desire for something, for a change. Strong desire. Strong desire. It has to be taken away. It's something that I'm so desirous of. So in Exodus chapter 2 verse 23, the people cried out with loud voices to the Lord. Watch what happens in verse 7. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I've heard that cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So this is a state of being in, you know, a place you don't want to be. Bondage. Actually, apathy is bondage because the believer who is supposed to be seen with his spiritual elements is not seen. He's supposed to be hearing. He's not hearing. He's supposed to be led supernaturally into certain places and to do certain things. He's not able to. It's not a good place to be. We have 8 minutes more. Once the call hangs up, we'll join in quickly. Are you listening? If you go and you don't come back, that's even apathy. Because right now, I'm sharing the word of God with you. You want to disappear. You don't want to come back again. So the people are actually seeing a desire that, God, this place, we'll leave this place. We'll leave this place. And oftentimes, let me tell you one of the things. Oftentimes, he will respond to your desire. He will respond to your desire. He will respond to your desire. The desire you have, he will respond to it. It's in the same way in 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's go there quickly. Once it ends, Boyki, work on the link and then they'll join in again. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's the same. People who have a desire. I'm going to teach you something very sensitive in a few minutes ahead. Not here, but just a few minutes ahead. Right? 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's go to chapter 1 before. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're reading very quickly. Somebody's catching something. Somebody's catching a desire. Are you listening? The spiritual apathy. No. We will not be cold. We will not be inconsistent. So guess what happens in verses number 7. I'm trying to cut down the story. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Do you see what a strong desire feels like? No eating. No eating. Some of you, the highest you fasted is 6 to 12. 6 to 12. One. Nkiti is all over your room. They are saying, oh, no. One o'clock. You want to have disciples. You can't have 1 o'clock fasting. You want to know God. 6 to 1 is at least do something. If you are starting, that's fine. But for you, it's been 6 to 12, 3 years now. She did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, went to her. Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? And not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up. She rose up. You have to rise up. After that, she had eaten. After that, they had eaten. You see that? So Hannah rose up, they ate in Shiloh. And after they had drunk, Eli the priest sat upon his seat by a post of the temple. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept. And she vowed a vow. O Lord God of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy main handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, will I give thee unto a handmaid a man child, and I'll give him unto you all the days of your life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So Hannah spoke from her mouth. Verse 13. She didn't sleep. 13. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips were moving. Her voice was not heard. Somebody who is waiting to receive something, invite God's spirit by a desire. They are inviting a desire. It's that the lips are moving like that. They are not feeling anything, but the lips are moving. The lips are moving. So she showed that desire. Then the Lord responds to the desire. So you need this desire. The heart should be able to reach out. Are you listening? The heart should be able to reach out. You need this desire. 2 Samuel 5:12. Just move 5:12. You need this desire. Somebody's leaving spiritual apathy. You are leaving it. Today is your last day of becoming spiritually apathetic. It's like you are just not. When we stimulate you, you don't stimulate. You are leaving that kind of a state. 2 Samuel 5:12. I'm hoping I had the scripture right actually. And David perceived. Do you see that? You know, David had been king a long time ago, but now he was actually thinking on that the Lord had established him king over Israel and that he had exalted his kingdom for the people Israel's sake. David had been king all the while, but now it actually dawned on him that God had raised his throne above every other throne. Right? He's now taking time for it to dawn on him. He's inviting a desire by thinking. Right? Yeah. Yeah. And oftentimes you have your desire by thinking on it. How many of you realize that it is when you are looking for a pen, then you start to actually think on that pen. You actually know where to find the pen. You're like, oh, I have one in my pocket. Oh, I have one in my bag. That's how desires are invited. Right? You have a strong desire. It's on your thoughts that, this kind of states. Nah. So there are many times people don't have that kind of consistency and fire and concern because they never think on it. They never sometimes even get to know that this thing, Charlie, I'm apathetic. But somebody is leaving that state. After today, see, let the sleep come. You will go and wash your face. You will go and wash your face. You are going to fight it boot for boot. See, I've never prayed for 1 hour. This evening. Just this evening. Go back and pray for 1 hour. Go back and pray for 1 hour. Say, this thing, I'm going to pray for 1 hour. So Hannah could have said, oh, maybe next year. Next year, God is going to give me a sign. I'm believing God for his zeal. Oh, wow. Your zeal is very nice. Oh, wow. Man of God, when I look at you, I love the way you pray. No. It's time to say, now is what I'm going to, it's going to be my story. Now, zeal is going to be my story. I'm going to leave apathy.
So she must have tried to console herself. She must have agreed with the facts on the table. But when it dawned on her, she knew that no, it had to be now.
So you get to realize that Hannah must have said, I want a baby now. So oftentimes, how to stay up spiritual possibilities, oftentimes you invite them by desire, right? So you must begin to have and harness a strong desire against showing a lack of interest. Sometimes, even when a preacher is preaching, he can see the people who are interested and the people who are not too interested. Because you can easily see that on their faces. So there's a lack of interest. So there is just that desire of saying, nah, I can't be like this. I can't be like this. I remember when I first spoke in tongues, I spoke in tongues the whole night. But today I can't even speak in tongues 20 minutes. I'm already sleeping. No, is to have a great, strong desire for something that should happen to you. Let me tell you something. Spiritual things don't just happen. We invite them by desire. There is not one man who is doing well and growing in the spirit that just sleeps and wakes up to it. No, we invite them by desire. Isn't it amazing that the gifts of the spirit are also invited by desire? They are actually fanned to flame by desire. So oftentimes when you realize this, that I'm becoming, now I work, so there's this lack of interest. No, that's not a time to have excuses. It's the time to begin to implement all of these things that I'm doing. You are going to be making sure that you are in faith, number one. Right? Don't lose that faith element. Are you listening? You're also going to forcefully fight. Right? You're going to fight this. And how you're going to do it is by the word of God. Is, you know, just plugging yourself to God's word. You are plugging yourself to God's word. You fight that apathy with effort. And the effort there is going to be consistently putting in measures to make sure that you are not becoming and losing out on that interest. I was saying that there are times you need to take retreats. You need to go on special moments. Yeah, so holidays from work, holidays from school are not times to get along with whatever you're supposed to do. And it's not time to sleep. It's time to get active with what you have to do. Right? Yeah, it's time to get active with what you want to do. Right? So we must begin to invite by desire, by desire, by desire. When you sit down, that's one of the things that dawns on you, is that you are some way, somehow not the way you used to be. And that calls for room for more services to be made, right? So when it dawned on her, she said, no. When you were prayer director, you used to pray. Now you are saying, oh, because of work. I don't know if it's prayer. Because of work. Discipleship director, you used to pray. Now because I'm busy, your disciples should find somewhere to pass. They are no longer disciples because you are looking for money now. See, you are becoming apathetic. You are losing out on that favor. Those times when you got born again, you just wanted to be with God. You just wanted to serve God. 2 years after, you don't want to hear anything about God. Why is that so? There is something wrong that I'm drawing your attention to. Right? So when it dawned on Hannah, she said, no, I have to find something to do. Those times, prayer department, you can pray and remove your wig and put it somewhere in your bag. Today, you have nails that are longer than anything else. And you have hair that are longer than anything else. And you don't want to sweat. Because when you sweat, say, oh, my armpits will smell. Please. You are just apathetic. That's what you are. That's what you are. Let me tell you. That's what you are. You are losing it. If you don't know, I'm telling you. You are losing it. As for those days, you didn't know your armpits will smell. Or you, when you sweat, you stick your body sticks to it. What do they call it? You feel oily. Now you feel you are going to feel oily. So you don't need to pray. You just need to karabasote le mende marunda bakapa. You are losing it. You are losing. Listen, you are losing. You are becoming apathetic. You are losing it. Those days you don't matter. You sit on the floor. You sit on the floor and pray. Now you check. Where is it? Is it conducive? You are losing it. That's what I'm telling you. You are losing it. You are losing it. So if you don't know you are losing it, I'm telling you, you are losing it. There are certain things I will do over and over again, no matter how grown I am or how seemingly big I probably might. No, it shows that consistent aliveness and activity. It shows that I'm active. Yeah, it shows that I'm active. It shows that I'm not dead. I'm not unconscious. Without care. But somebody is coming out of this state and in this condition. If you are here, you are coming out of it. You see, one of the graces God has put on my life is that what I teach you, it contains within it the element to make you what I'm teaching you. So what I'm teaching you are not just words that are coming to you. It's potent enough to get you back where you are supposed to be. That's the grace of God on my life. It's that potent, right? To get you saying, no. I have to go and do it. I'm going to do it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to take it more seriously. Don't become apathetic. Don't be inconsistent. Don't lack interest. Don't lack zeal. Today, those times when you come into meetings, you are inside the prayer. You are inside. You are not on the side. You are inside. Today when you come, you chalk in the line outside of the people who are actually praying. And you are backing and giving vocals behind. While prayer is going on, I said, Father, we love you. Father in heaven, we love you. Singing behind when we are praying. We lift your name in all the air. But there's prayer going on. Blessed be the Lord. You are losing it. There's a time where we are going to be all praying. You are losing it. So when you realize this, say, nah. First, I was inside the middle. But now, that's one of the things I was never able to do, is to stand behind. I never prospered at that. Before you realize, I'm already somewhere in the middle. Or I just look around. The guy who I see that, Charlie, this guy is really praying. I just go and cling myself to him. So in one of the things we're going to be doing in this meeting, telling you up ahead, the zeal of the Lord bootcamp, is that we're going to be passing out zeal one to another. And how do you do that? I've taught you already. Is that you greet family, right? Cut someone and begin to pray. You catch their zeal. Cut someone and begin to travel. You catch it. I'll not share this story with you. I'll share it with you when we go for Zello. Eh? But that kind of apathy, it can happen. Once you realize the state of apathy, state of slowness, inconsistency, you're lacking interest, dispassionate about what you used to first be passionate about. First, they say, lift up your hands. Your hands are lifted higher than anybody else. Today, lift up your hands. Your hands are the ones that are lifted at the latter. There is something wrong. There is something wrong. There's something wrong. Can't you see there's something wrong? Can't you see? Can't you see? Can't you see? There's something wrong. There's something wrong. So I'm opening your eyes to this so you begin to respond to it. Are you listening? And those of you who are already not apathetic, it's time for much more fire. Are you listening? Much more of whatever that you are. So she got uncomfortable and said, no, I'm going to do this. Right? Get uncomfortable. Begin to get uncomfortable. Begin to get uncomfortable. Begin to get uncomfortable. Begin to get uncomfortable. If you are praying for 30 minutes, add 15. Are you listening? Begin to get uncomfortable. If you are praying for 20 minutes, add another 20 minutes. Become uncomfortable. See, nah, there's something wrong with me. I want to be easily palpable. I want to easily, you know, be touched and I respond. You know, I want to respond. I want to respond. You say, I've been praying for 10 minutes. Today, I'm going to pray for 20 minutes. 20 minutes is what I'm going to pray. You start, you are looking at the watch. It's like the watch is not moving. But you say, today is today. Today is that day. Today is that day. It's like you are dozing small. Go and wash your face and come back. You are not going to be cold. You are going to be swift. You are going to be hot. You are going to be burning. You're not going to be spiritually apathetic. So when it dawned on her, she realized that, oh, there has to be that. Right? Next point is that you begin to nourish that desire. Begin to nourish it. Begin to nourish it. Begin to nourish it. Psalm 63 verse 1 to 2. Begin to nourish it. Begin to nourish that desire. Begin to nourish it. Feed that desire. Feed it. Don't let anybody tell you you are overdoing it. There is something wrong with the person that tells you that you are overdoing it. In fact, that's not the natural state. The person is not in their natural state. Feed that desire. Are you listening? So, Psalm 63, verse 1 to 2. O God, thou art my God. Early. It has to deal with that urgency of what you need to do early. It's not when I've done everything, it's early will I seek you. Early. And the reason why I do this is because I want to see thy power and thy glory. So as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. Many want to be used of God. Many want to be relevant with the Lord. It starts with early. Catch this early. Don't become inactive. Are you listening? Don't become inactive. Have a strong desire and nourish that desire. You nourish that desire by giving yourself to prayer. Put all excuses aside. Put everything aside that says you can't pray. Put all excuses aside. Begin to say, I will pray. I'll give myself to this. I'll not become unconcerned. I'm going to be giving. So David is inviting. He's invoking something by a desire. So nourish the desire. After you have it, nourishing means that make it more rich a desire to have. There's a difference between Gary Sokins and Gary Sokins that is well nourished. You see, no, there's times where you fan to flame. You're not slow. Psalm 63 verse 3. It's just this chapter away. Psalm 63 verse 3. So David is nourishing that desire Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Look at what he says in verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in thy night watches. So David is nourishing the desire. Is that does not just leave, oh, then he's up. No, he has a desire on his heart. Even in the bedtime, he has that desire. You know, there are times where you can actually be asleep and then you are praying. Yeah? When you have prayed up a lot, your sleep feels like you are praying. Yeah, that's desire. And that's nourishing that desire. Even when you are sleeping, you are not sleeping like that. You are just on that edge. Even in the bed, he has those thoughts running through his mind. Right? So once the desire starts out, begin to nourish it. Begin to nourish it. Begin to nourish it. One of the times I remember, and the next and the last one I'll tell you is, don't stop till you see activity. Don't stop till you see activity. Don't stop till you begin to respond the way you used to respond. Don't stop until you begin to see that this thing is now here. That burning sensation is now here. That burning desire in my heart is here now. Don't stop. Many of the times we stop too early. One of the times the Lord taught me this, I remember very clearly. I took a flight from Accra to Tamale. And I don't know if it was, you know, the sudden weather change. That's why me, I don't like to pray in air condition. I'll tell you the secret. It's because the blood needs to be red hot. Yeah, the blood needs to be red hot. When the blood is red hot, there are more activities that is able to process than when it's cold. So me, I don't pray in air condition. I have an air condition in my room. I don't pray with air condition. I never try that thing. Yeah, just open up the windows. See that when I'm sweating, I'll remove my shirt. Yes, that's the zeal of the Lord. Do you understand? Yeah. Yeah. So you get to realize that you don't have to stop until you get it. You become very active. Like we just touch you, you're already up. It's not that we have to shake you and shake you and shake you and shake you and shake you. No, we just touch you, you're up. You're up and doing. That's how the Lord is making you. Is that whenever you are just touched, right? Your senses of the spirit are active. Your things, you know, the things that must respond and be in that attitude of God are very active and alive. So I moved to Tamale. I don't know if it was a sudden weather change, but that time it was Harmattan season in Tamale and the place was very cold. So, you know, I didn't pray for a while because the place was cold at night. Tamale, Harmattan season, very dangerous. I mean, your lips are cracking, your nostrils are, inside your nose are bleeding and all. So I remember that after a period of time, I went to pray and the prayer was not how it used to be. So I said, hey, what is wrong? You know, what is wrong? So I started getting worried. And that's what I told you not to do. I'm able to teach you this because I took that turn. I started getting worried. That I was not, what is happening? No, I should have moved in faith. Right? Should have invited those impressions by desire. I should have forcefully sacked out that apathy. Right? But I was just saying, nama, nama, oh God, please, what is happening? So while I was praying, I saw in my vision a bolt and a knot. I saw in that vision a bolt and a knot. And the bolt and the knot in the vision I saw was rusty. So the Lord actually said, there were a series of questions that came to my heart. What does this mean? Can you unknot it? And I was like, unknotting this thing is really going to be difficult. Right? And he said, start out. So in the vision, I kept on imagining the thing. So see that when I was trying to remove it, it was very difficult and I could find some plates and things not, you know, covered up in the knot and the bolt and all of that.
So he said, keep at it. That was the instruction. So I kept on trying to unknot. Then it started unknotting small, small. So in the vision, I watched that thing happen. It was unknotting, unknotting, unknotting. And he said, keep knotting and unknotting. So he said, I'll struggle to knot. Then I'll struggle to unknot. I'll struggle to knot. Then I'll struggle to unknot. So in the vision, while I was watching that happen, it got to a point in time. It was now becoming easier to knot and unknot. You know, it was now becoming easier. It's now becoming easier to knot and unknot. And I said, what's going on? So at a point in time, I had so unknotted and knotted that I just needed to touch the knot. Then it quickly coiled itself into. And I said, what does that mean? And he said something to me. He said that that's how our walk with God is. Oftentimes, when we are not too consistent with Him, we become that kind of a knot and bolt that has not been knotted and unknotted for a while. But you see, when you come, it's not to start complaining that I don't even feel like praying. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to go to church. I don't even know how to read my Bible. No, no, no. It's to keep knotting and unknotting. Is whether you feel like praying or not, you are still praying. Now that's nothing and nothing. So I said, yes, I've had it. Yes, I've had it. I've had it. So I kept on saying, yes, I've had it. It means that I should keep doing what I was doing and not worry about the state that I was. So I kept nothing and on nothing. I kept on praying and praying and waking up and praying. Waking up and praying. Oh, I began to see those pangs began to set in again. Okay. You know, those times I'll get in there and, you know, those pangs, I'm caught up in those pangs again. Polar brother, shoulder. I said, it's coming now. It's coming. It means that I'm nothing and on nothing. I'll get into prayer. Then suddenly I'm traveling already in a few minutes. I'm already traveling. I'm like, yes, this is it. This is what I wanted to experience. But you see, because I kept at it and I did not stop. That's how come I became what I wanted to become. But most people give up too early. They just say, this thing is not working, it's not coming, the prayer cry is not coming, and then they give up. They don't know that that state of giving up is that state for more apathy. Is that state for more apathy? Is that state for more apathy? Are you listening? Is that state for more apathy? You're giving up and saying this thing is not working. Is that state for more apathy? More inconsistencies, more unresponsiveness. Your state of saying that this thing, I said I'll preach the gospel to someone tomorrow. I didn't preach. Tomorrow next, I didn't preach. I'm giving up. Is that state for more apathy? Be ready for more apathies. Be ready. Just be ready. Be ready for not doing it. Every time, be ready for not doing it. Say, I've sinned against God. Yesterday, I even drank, how do they call that drink? Hennessy or Henneke. I don't know why. It has a Henny something. You see, I went to see this, my friend, and they convinced me to drink some alcohol. And I don't even know what happened. And I just came back and I was drunk. And, you know, that's the state for more apathy. Your consistent worrying about what you did is that state for more apathy. Say, God, I said I'll keep myself for you. But God, the girl you sent me, this disciple, is not happening here in Jesus' name. This, I just kissed her, God. My ministry is ended. My ministry is finished. God, the mouth of your servant is without worthiness. No, that state is a state for more apathy. More apathy. More apathy. You know one of the things God is saying to you? He is more interested in what you are doing than what you did not do right. Are you listening? He's more interested in what you are doing than what you did not do right. And so get to it, not or not. Say, Charlie, today we've heard a message. We are blessed. We are going to pray. I'm going to pray. When you wake up, it's like the prayer is becoming something. You say, no. No, it's nothing. I'm telling you what works. I'm telling you what works. If you keep at it, you will get whatever you want to see. You will have it. Yeah? Just like the way I kept at it and I keep at it. Keep knotting and unknotting. Go out, go and knot and unknot. Go and pray and pray and pray. Even when you are not feeling the tongues, just keep praying. Just continue at it. Very soon, you will see that, it's like now the heart is more responsive. Is that the knots are becoming smoother by the day. The Lord is helping someone and granting someone understanding to follow God passionately. Listen, we're not people who are going to stop following God. We are going to follow Him till He knows that these people are following us. These people can't do anything. They are just following me. These people are following me. We're going to hold on. We're going to firmly grip what God wants us to do and do it with all our strength. So don't stop till you get active and alive. 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 They touch you, you are responsive. Before they say, evangelism, you are already evangelizing. Say, before you are praying, you are already speaking in tongues. So when you begin to do some of these things, you now get to realize, wow, your walk with God becomes exciting. 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 It becomes something you're excited to do because you've kept at it. You consistently do it. You're found doing it. Every now and then you're keeping at it. And lastly, one of the things you have to do is just to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. That's God being with you. Just acknowledge Him. There are times where as you pray, you know, you just surrender to Him and say, Lord, for we do not know what we ought to pray about, but your Spirit, right? Your Spirit, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So there are times He bears you up and, you know, He leads you into praying. So you would learn to take advantage of His presence. Don't think He is not around or He's not there. He's not there to lead you on how to pray. No, is that He can actually instigate and lead you on things to pray about. So all of these things are things that you must do. All of these things are things that you must do. And I see people coming, becoming active. They are becoming active. Like we touch you, you are stimulated. There is a stimulating effect that you have. You're not spiritually irresponsive. You are not losing zeal. You are not becoming something that God is not really planning for you. No, you're becoming active. You're becoming active. You're becoming active. You're becoming more passionate. You're becoming more passionate, more passionate, and more passionate, and more passionate by the day. You know, one of the things my boss said about me, and he said that, he said something to me on my birthday. I mean, he wrote it to me. He said something that, something, I can't remember exactly the words. Something like, wow, angelic apostolic self. I don't know why he said apostolic self, but maybe he might have caught me speaking tongues a couple of times. It means I'm not apathetic. Are you listening? I am not apathetic. I'm not that irresponsive. Yeah. Yeah. I've laid hands on my people in workplace. They fell down. The small room. Yeah. I'm very active. 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 Yeah. Very active. God is making you active, active, active. You will not become apathetic. You will not become spiritually, it's like you, nothing spiritually tingles and, you know, makes a humming string to you or a humming sound to you. You're going to respond. You're going to respond. You're going to respond. Father, we thank you that all of these people are responding. They are responding. They are becoming very active. They will desist spiritual apathy. They will desist it. They will desist it. They will desist it. They will cling to the word in faith. They will fight apathy with effort by the listening of your word and by the acting on of it. Yes, they will. They will. They are becoming more active and more active by the day. Yes, more active and more active by the day. More active and more active by the day. They are going to forcefully apply. They will apply force. They will apply. They will say, no, if we don't get this thing, we are not stopping. We are not stopping. They are going to have a strong desire for change. Yes, a strong desire for change. A strong desire for change.
And they're going to have a desire, a strong desire for change. And they will nourish that desire. They will not stop until they are active. And they will engage the Holy Ghost.